Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Beautiful day out there today. We had a nice rain, had about an inch of rain yesterday morning. And so we're blessed. We had a good time. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to not be under law, to be under grace? Wow. It really is something. Has anybody had anything good happen to you this week that you'd like to tell us about? We want to hear what you have to say. Okay, tell us what happened.
5 or 6 weeks ago, y'all prayed over my cousin who's had type 2 diabetes and has been addicted to sugar for about 35 years.
Wow.
His blood sugar for the last 3 weeks has been 100 or below without any medication. The only thing that remains, the trace of the type 2 diabetes, is a wound on the ball of his foot. He's in a special wound hospital now. He's witnessing to everybody that'll listen. The doctor has said, are you sure you're not lying about this diabetes? Your blood sugar's so low. Yesterday they had to give him medicine to bring up his blood sugar because it was at 77. Thank you, Jesus.
That's what I say, young lady. Praise the Lord. Wow, wow, wow. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God that heals? Yeah, I mean, sometimes he even heals us whenever we're sinful. He does. He really does. He's such a mighty, awesome God. And if you'll just try to get along with him, he'll do something wonderful. Anybody else got a testimony before we go on today? Come up here if you got one. Come tell us about it. Praise the Lord. We love to hear what Jesus is doing.
Well, mine has been a situation where I've been underemployed for a number of years. So this coming, I've been interviewing with PetSmart because my passion is animals, and Pastor and Cheryl know that, and they've been praying for that. So Monday I'm doing new hire paperwork for PetSmart, which is going to put me with my foot in the door to where I'm going to be a dog washer. But you've got to start off as a dog washer before they evaluate you to see if you've got, you can get the muster, more or less. And then after you've been there a few months, then they will pay for you to go to school to become a dog groomer. So that's my praise. So
amen. I've got my foot in the door. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. All right. Praise the Lord. Anybody else before we quit? Okay, come up here. We'd love to hear what Jesus is doing. Isn't it wonderful to be where Jesus is?
Hello, everybody.
What do you do for
Praise
you?
The Lord. This week I gave a tithe and an offering, and I was thinking, man, you know, that's kind of a lot, Lord, but I said, I'm just going to trust you. So as I gave the offering, almost immediately when I checked my account, not only was the offering that I had given still there, but he like multiplied it to the same amount that I had given.
Wow.
And it's impossible. Nobody could have deposited that money. Nobody has like access to that particular like account. The amount that I had given, like all the entities actually extracted it. But the amount that I gave was still there, plus the same amount that I gave, so double.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got one? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We love to hear what Jesus is doing.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Wonderful to know a Jesus that does things. Right, brother?
You're
right. Amen. Hold that up close so they can hear you.
All right. This morning I was watching a DVD called Don't Be an Unbelieving Believer. And I was listening to Pastor Thurman talking about his granddaughter, and her flapper valve was working. He finally got the truth of the Bible and stood on, you know, faith takes action, basically what it was.
Yeah.
And I've been going to a doctor for a long, long time, and every time I would go, he would put me on more medications. He'd get right at me. I'd come home sometime with 7 or 8 new prescriptions, most of which I would not get filled. I would go on vacation with my friends. We'd go to California to a car show or something, and I'd have a Walmart bag full of medication, 18, 20 bottles of stuff. And I'd take sometimes 2 or 3 pills out of each one of these things, and they thought I'd lost my mind. This has been going on for a long, long time, and I would go to a doctor, and he's a really great guy. But he would ask me things like, for instance, he told me one time, he said, when are you going to retire? I was about 62, and I said, I'm going to retire at 66. He said, you won't be here at 66. And I'd go in, and he'd have his helper with him. He'd say, you see this guy right here? I'm surprised he's still alive. He's got the highest cholesterol I've ever seen in my life. He's got high blood pressure and this, that, and the other. And that's I've been dealing with this about this medication. You know, if you're going to stand on God's word, you got to believe it all. You can't just take part of it. You have to believe it all. I pretty well quit taking about everything except my high blood pressure pills and a couple other things. And I was watching this DVD this morning, and Pastor Thurman just went over to his son-in-law's house and said, "We're going to feed her today. That flapper valve is working." And it just dawned on me that I'm taking these pills and I'm claiming God's word, and that I've seen lots of great things happen in my life in the last couple, 3 months or 4 months since we've been coming here. So after I watched this DVD a couple times this morning, I said, you know, I'm going to have to do what I know to do about these pills. And I went to the bathroom and got them and threw them in the trash.
Hey, man, Grace.
You talk about just the blood pressure pills alone. You cost me $30-$40 after the insurance and another bottle of pills and a brand new bottle of Aleve, you know, for the headaches and stuff. And I just threw them all in the trash, and I'm thrilled about it. I have a friend that told me the other day, said, "You quit taking that blood pressure medicine, you're going to have a stroke. You're going to have this." I said, "That might happen to you, but that's not going to happen to me."
Amen. Amen.
So I just praise the Lord for the church and the teachings of the Bible and all I've gotten out of this. So thank you so much.
Jesus is a wonderful guy, isn't he? He is, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. I love these testimonies. Praise the Lord. Oh, we got another one here. Okay. I was just fixing to put that up. You just barely got
here. I come up here so often, but I am so truly blessed. So a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting on my bed.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And I'm sitting on the bed, and I said, "Lord, I need some new shoes." And then so I came to church, and somebody asked me what size shoe I wore, and I was like, "Oh, my gosh." And so I said, and then last Sunday, the Lord blessed me with a pair of shoes, but they didn't fit. So I was asked what size shoe I actually wore, and I told them it was a 9.5 wide. So I came into church today, and Jesus blessed me with two new pairs of shoes, a pair of boots, and a pair of dress shoes.
Praise the
Praise
Lord.
Praise the King. God is good.
Yes, He is.
I was also blessed with a Smith Wigglesworth devotional today.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. All right. Wow. Okay. Are we glad we serve a Jesus that does things? I'm so grateful. He is a good God. He honors faith. And, you know, it's real, really, really, really exciting to in the time that we're in today. Before we get into the scripture, I want you to know that this month and next month is a very, very important month. I mean, you know, we've already been through Rosh Hashanah and, you know, Feast of Trumpets. And, of course, now some of you may or may not agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, then you have the right to be wrong if you want to be, you see. I'm just kidding you. I might be wrong, too. I don't know on this. But I'm a firm believer that the rapture of the church will occur on a Rosh Hashanah, a Feast of Trumpets. And I have lots of reasons for that. But the main reason is because when I learned about the Jewish wedding and how it worked, that cinched it for me. So I believe one day, now, I mean, I look with great anticipation, just like I did in the last few days. Lord, are you coming today? Because we got this 48-hour period called the Feast of Trumpets. And I believe during that 48 hours, the hour that the day or the time that no man knows the day or the hour, I believe that's when Jesus is coming, and that's Rosh Hashanah. So he said he's coming for those that are looking for him. So I'm looking for him. Now then, there's a perfect story in the Bible about 10 virgins. Five of them were looking for him, and five of them wasn't looking for him. Five of them were ready, and five of them weren't ready. Well, guess what happened to the five that was looking for him and was ready? They got to go with him. The five that wasn't ready, that didn't have their oil, that might say that were not prayed up or not studied up or whatever, they didn't have their Holy Spirit oil, so they had to go to town to buy some. And after they made the trip to town and they got back out there, he had come and he was inside the voting chamber and the door was locked and they could not get in. And so they begged, "Lord, let us in." He says, "Away with you. I never knew you." I don't want to be one of those. But I believe he is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. Well, we just passed Rosh Hashanah, so that doesn't mean he couldn't still come anytime he wants to. You know, last time I checked, he's the boss. And, you know, he can do anything he wants to. I don't have to worry about God. I mean, he can do anything, and he will do anything. But if you stand on his word, I mean, just like I stood on his word for my granddaughter's throat, the little flapper valve in her throat, I mean, that took some serious faith. You know that?
Yeah.
That took serious faith. I had to really believe with all my heart that God's word was true, because if I had been wrong, I would have killed her, because the doctors had already told me that do not give her anything to drink or eat by mouth, because if you do, that flapper valve does not work, and so anything you give her will go into her lungs, and of course it will kill her. And so, you know, you don't really realize how critical that little flapper valve is that's slopping around in there, how it closes off so you can swallow food and it goes down the right path, or you can drink water and it goes down the right path. But yet when you take a breath of air, it goes down the right path. And so it's kind of amazing how God made us. I don't understand all that, but I do know that if you trust him, he does know how it works. I don't have to know how it works, but anyway, you know, that I told that story in lots of places, but this lady up here was telling me earlier today that she had been listening to Caitlin's Miracle too. And that's a very, very good teaching. If you have not listened to Caitlin's Miracle 2, you need to get a copy of it and listen to it. We only have it on CD. I did that at Kansas City when I was up there in a church of, I don't know how many people there were, but there was several. How many people did that? A couple thousand. I don't know. There was a lot of people there that day. But the Lord moved on my heart to tell that full story about my granddaughter, and it takes almost 3 hours, you know, so it was quite an awesome experience. But if you haven't listened to Caitlin's Miracle 2, listen to it, and if you want to give somebody something to listen to that'll really be faith building, give them a copy of Caitlin's Miracle 2. And also God's power, you know, that's also builds people's faith, and it introduces us to people. But this time of the year that we're in right now, the Jewish season, we're in the fall feast, and the first one is Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Rosh Hashanah is the first of the last feasts that have not been fulfilled. The other ones in the summer, and in the spring and the summer, have been fulfilled, and Passover and all that. That's all been done. Jesus has completed that, but he has not done the fall feast yet. So that's why I'm expecting any day for it to happen. But right now, we are in that. And when I think about this young lady that said she gave her tithe and there was money, even double money, in her bank account that she didn't understand, well, if there was ever a good time to give your gift to the Lord, it's this month. Because this month really is the time of Jubilee. And not only have we gone through Passover, way back yonder Passover, but now that we've gone through Feast of Trumpets, and now then, right now, we're in the 10 days of Ah. You know, and that will end next Wednesday, the 23rd. And then we go into Jubilee. And that's a time of debt cancellation and blessings. And so, you know, if there was ever a time in your life you wanted to give a supernatural gift to the Lord, it would be during this time. Because with what we're seeing God do with the feast that's here right now, with the blood moons and everything else, this entire situation will never be duplicated in mine and your lifetime again. It'll be 500 years before this scenario comes back around, and I don't think none of us will be here in 500 years. I really don't. We'll be already raptured. We'll be in the church. We'll be serving the Lord. But all this is happening right now. And I know that God is blessing lots of people because it's debt cancellation time. And somebody asked me earlier, had I looked at the stock market this week? I have not. I have not even checked on it to see what's happened. But it doesn't mean that it has to happen today. It can happen any day. But we know that in the last two sets of smitas, God has absolutely canceled a lot of debts because he has kind of wiped the stock market out. And it took a gross fall. And I don't know when it's going to do it, but I'm looking for it any day. You know, I believe really there's going to be some debt cancellation things take place. And I think that certain people that are paying attention, especially Christians, if they're obeying God and they're watching what he's doing, and if they're praying. Now, you know, if you're not praying, you're not going to get nothing. But you really need to be praying and asking the Lord for guidance and what you need to do, where you need to put your money and how you need to invest it and all those kind of things. And the situation that we're in right now could be very explosive. You know, I mean, it really could be very explosive. You could take people that are really paying attention to the stock market and different things and all these different feasts and everything else. And some of those people could wind up, you know, very, very wealthy. All kinds of great things could happen. And, you know, I told Cheryl, I said, I've made a statement here a while back. I said, I don't know what God's going to do, but if he were to drop a nuclear bomb, for as money is concerned, on this church, I said, you know, there is a law out there that says that you can give people up to $14,000 apiece with no taxes. And I just thought, Lord, if he were to drop a few million on our ministry, and I know he can do this. I said, you know, I'm going to do something that I don't think I've ever heard of done in my life. I said, everybody that comes to this church that is a member that comes here regularly and people that tithe, and of course we keep a record. I don't keep the record, but Cheryl does. I said, I will guarantee you that everybody goes to this church and tithes to this church. I can assure you that I will give them from the church at least a $14,000 offering back. You ever been to a church where you got a $14,000 offering?
No.
They come from the church. Well, I'm going to do that. When God blesses this ministry like I think he's going to in the future, I'm going to do that. Now, who knows? He's got a whole year, the whole year of Jubilee to do that. Now, he could do it next week. He could do it next month. He could do it anytime he wants to. But if he does, I'm not going to be the place where people say, if you want to get healed, go out to the Living Savior Church. Say, wow, you should have been there last Sunday. The pastor gave us a $14,000 check. Let me ask you a question. How many of you told somebody about Jesus this last week? Okay, I'm proud of you. That's a whole bunch of you. But if you hadn't have told somebody about Jesus, and this was the Sunday that God blessed our socks off, and I got Sharon up here, and I said, Sharon, come up here and get this notepad, start writing these people's names down. And I said, honey, get the records out, and let's find out who gives to this ministry. And I'm going to go down, and Sharon's going to keep records, and Cheryl's going to do, and I'm going to write a check to everybody that meets that criteria for at least $14,000. I'll bet you that everybody that got a check would tell multitudes of people wherever they went about what happened out here today. Don't you, Miss Jackie? Would you tell somebody?
Sure.
Sure. You see what I mean? So when something is good, we tell it, don't we? And then the other five of the 10 virgins would be here next Sunday too, wouldn't they? But it's too late. You know, if you're not part of this deal, you don't get in on it. But, you know, God can do that, and we're in Jubilee right now, or getting ready to go into Jubilee. And I don't know what God's going to do, but I know he's going to do something spectacular with the world. And, of course, he may also be into a judgment series on the people and that's not walking in obedience to God's word. If you're a Christian and you're not living holy before God, you know what my advice to you would be? Be ye holy, for I am holy, he says. And so if you're doing anything that's not holy, if you're not walking in love, you're not walking in obedience to God's word, my suggestion to you would be change and get into walking in obedience to God's word. Now, don't say, well, I don't know if Thurman's right or wrong, so I'm not going to change the way I live till it blows up. When the world blows up, then I'm going to say, okay, he was right, so now I'm going to change. I'm going to tell you, I don't think God's going to honor that. You know, I really don't think he's going to honor that. In fact, I see people all the time that, you know, especially men, I see men all the time that's out here working, trying to make a living, and they never pray. You know, they won't come to church. And so they wonder why everything's falling apart. Wonder why they can't do anything right. Wonder why their cars broke down or their trucks or tractors or whatever. Or that their stuff at your house, your dishwasher breaks down, and or your car. Or, I see it all the time. I mean, I understand what's happening to people, and I understand that God is judging. Just like the other day, we had a lady called us, and she said, I want your opinion of what's wrong with this child. And the child had Down syndrome and had, what else was it?
Throat.
Yeah, something wrong with his throat.
No, heart.
Heart. Oh, yeah. Oh, he had a stroke, didn't it?
16 days old.
The child had already had a stroke, had some kind of problem with his heart, and it has Down syndrome. It's only 16 days old. And so as soon as I read that, I told Cheryl, I said, ask them the person that sent that to us, I said, tell them there's some kind of a gross problem between the mother and the daddy. I guarantee when you take a 16-day-old baby that's already had a stroke, and he's got a problem with his heart, and it's got all these issues, I guarantee you got a mom and daddy in that home that's not living in obedience to God's word. More than likely, both of them. So we shot off an email back to them, and of course they called right back in just a little while and said, everything is wrong between the mother and daddy. The child was conceived out of wedlock. I mean, they're both running around with somebody else's mate, and they're having sex with who knows who. They're on drugs and doing all kinds of stuff. Hey, you want to know why this poor kid's sick? Does it make somebody say, you know, God would never do that to a child? Oh, yes, he will. Guarantee he will, you know. So when I've seen him do this with many children, and I've seen many of them whenever the parents straighten their act up, I've seen them get healed. I've had children right here in this sanctuary, you know, that has been healed of all kinds of things after their mother and daddy repented of their sin. And pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. And God don't do nothing till they get rid of that sin. When they get rid of their sin, then you pray for them. And I've seen the children get healed instantly right here. Haven't we, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we have seen it. And so we've seen it happen a lot of times. And one of the good ones is, for those of you that may not have seen Jenna, the little picture through the doorway there, we got a whole bunch of pictures on the wall of Jenna when she was sick, and she had eczema all over her body, all over. She's awful. And we prayed for that little girl for a year and a half with no results until we finally went to the Lord and asked the Lord, what is the sin? And the Lord told us, it actually told the mother, it was her sin, and she had been lying and deceiving her husband. And so whenever she repented to her husband and repented to God, then we prayed one simple prayer, and in 2 weeks, that little girl is totally, completely well without a scar or mark or nothing. You know, so I'm telling you, God, his word really works, doesn't it? Some people say, I don't believe that. Well, let me tell you, it's true. It hurt. It worked. And if you'd like to call the Sings, I'd be happy to give you a phone number if you want to call and see if this story is true or not. But it is true. It is true, but we want you. But anyway, this is a serious time that we're entering right now. In fact, I also have saw the last night on the news where the Pope, for the first time in history, is making a trip to Cuba, and then he's going to come from Cuba to the United States, and then he's going to come from wherever he stops in the United States, he's going to come to Washington, D.C., and then on the 23rd, which is which is the Day of Atonement, the Pope and Obama are going to meet together in the White House and discuss something. And then the next day, the 24th, they're going to go and meet with Congress and present the instructions for the new world government. Now then, where have you read that before? Have you read that in the Bible? Oh yeah, it's in there. Now, this is the first time in history that I've ever seen anything like this happen. I've never seen a president, or nothing, you know, ever even dream about talking about the New World Order, other than just in passing. I mean, George Bush Sr. mentioned it just a little bit, you know, when he was president, but they didn't really talk about it much. But now then, Obama and the Pope. Now then, I am not saying this because I don't know, but what if, just what if Obama and the Pope were the Antichrist and the false prophet? What if they are? Wow, so how close are we to the end if that were true? Well, if that were true, we're really close to the end. So, you know, I'm guessing that if that is true and this does come to pass, and I'm going to be watching this very close this week. You can be assured that I'm going to be watching very close to see what's going on, because when they go to Congress and they speak to the Senate and the House and talk about this one world government, you know, I don't know how long it'll take for this thing to materialize and everything, and it may take a while, it may take months or even a few years. But if they start talking about this, I believe that we got somewhere between 3 and 6 or 7, maybe, I don't think we got 7, but 3 to 6 more years before the beginning of the tribulation period, which is the final 7 years before the Lord comes. We could be as close as 10 or 15 years from the return of Christ. Now then, you know, when you start getting that close, that's pretty close. You know, we've never had any idea, you know, when he's coming. But now then, there is so many things going on all around us with all these feasts and the blood moons and everything else. And it's just so many things that's happening. I'm just standing in awe. You know, I really am just standing in awe looking at all these things happening, and to think that this could take place in the next few days. I mean, what are we going to do if Obama and the Pope, what if the Pope, something else I noticed, he would not allow them to put him in any kind of protected vehicle. Whether he was in Cuba, whether he's here or wherever he's at, he just rides out there on that little white mobile thing that they're driving or pulling or whatever it is. And he doesn't want any bodyguards or anything. He just says, you know, if God plans for me to be here, he'll take care of me till it's done. And I think about General Douglas MacArthur, when he went to the Philippines, that's exactly the way he was. Whenever they come onto the shore there and it was mud holes and everything else, and here he is a general, and whenever some bombs and stuff started dropping around there, well, some of his colonels and everything, they hit the mud holes. He just kept right on walking. He never even ducked or nothing. He just kept right on walking. And one of them said, "General, how can you do that?" He said, "I'm a man of God." I have a special place in history. And God's going to, he said, "There's not, nothing can touch me until God is through with me." Now then, if you can have that kind of faith, and that's where we all should walk, every one of us should realize that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that he is in charge, and he's not going to let anything hurt you. I don't care what it is. If he's not finished with you, nothing can take you out. Nothing. But you got to walk in faith. Now, if you walk in faith, now then, and of course, I kind of go around here training my girls and all the time to walk in faith. And, you know, I do things to them, you know, I slip up behind them, you know, and maybe touch them in the side or something like that. And used to, they just jump and all this kind of say, "Hey, I thought you were a woman of faith." Well, they started learning. And so now then, most of them, I got to where I walk up and just pat them on the back or on top of the head or anything. They just say, oh, hi, Pastor. And they just keep on working. So, you know, they're getting it. They're really learning how to be women and men of faith. You know, so I still once in a while, you know, if a mouse runs through the kitchen or something, they're getting pretty good there, but we hadn't seen a mouse in a long time. So, but at first when we see a mouse, you know, they just, oh my goodness gracious, they jump and run. And but we're getting there where we're not even afraid of a mouse. And so if you learn how to walk in faith, you can walk fearless. When you really learn to walk in faith, you know, I mean, just like a doctor, if a doctor tells you that you've got this disease or that disease, and you've got the promises of God, what can you do with those promises of God? Yeah, you can use them, right? I mean, I used them, and God, he lets you see how I use these promises and the miracles that he has done by using his word. So do you think he is a respecter of persons? No, absolutely not. So if he done those things for me, he'll do those things for you, you know, if you walk in faith. And so I think that between all the things that's happening, all the feast days and everything else that we have coming up right now, I really believe that in the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, I think we're going to see some really, really awesome things. But, you know, don't get afraid or don't get uptight. You know, I mean, I just like the other day, I don't know if some of you may have heard about it, but this little Corinth Baptist Church over here toward Tyler, you know, that little Corinth Baptist Church, they had a Muslim guy come in there the other day, was armed, and he has fully intended to do harm to some people, but the pastor was, he was really cool. I mean, he got the people that was there out right quick, and they obeyed him. They listened. Obviously, they had learned that, you know, if your pastor speaks, if he says, children, go to the nursery or get out of here. They just did what he said. Nobody asked any questions. And by him doing that, he got everybody displaced, and he was able to subdue the guy and everything. And nothing, he was a well-trained man. And so I thought, wow, I hope that we're like that, you know, that we're all well-trained. You know, we don't want to see anybody get hurt if, you know, we don't know what is going to happen. I'm going to tell you now this. Some of you may have seen this on the news the other night, but there was a little Muslim, 14-year-old Muslim boy in Irving that built a clock and put it in a box and put it on his back. Did anybody see that? Okay, some of you did. Now, I'm telling you what. They're setting us up. That was just a clock. But what they do, they will teach, they will get you to where you don't see a kid with, especially a kid or a boy in school with a clock on his back. You think it's a clock, but next time it'll have a bomb in it. And so if you get close to it, and they have no qualms about setting that bomb off and blowing themselves all to pieces to kill 10 or 12 of you. So you got to be careful. You got to use some common sense. You know, Muslims are the only people in the world that I know that live like this. They live so contrary to what you live, you don't even think like a Muslim. You, I don't care who you are, even if you're highly depressed or something, you're still a respecter of life. And most people won't take their own life. I mean, some people will tell you they're going to, but they don't really mean that. I had one guy one time, he did that to me so many times. And I finally told him one day when he called in, he said, Pastor, I've had it this time. I'm going to blow my brains out. I said, I've had it too. Do a good job. Yeah, I said, I have dealt with you and I've messed with you and you've told me you're going to do that. I said, you've lied every time. So I said, my goodness gracious, if you're going to blow your brains out, make sure you put the bullet right to your brain and pull the trigger and blow it out. Just do a good job because I don't want to have to come and talk to you again about this. He said, you really have no compassion. I said, no, that's right. I don't. I said, I am fed up with you and all you're calling up here and trying to get me to have sympathy with you. I said, what you need to do is straighten your act up and I need to kick that demon of hell out of you and get you set free. So he come to see me. I kicked the devil out of him, got him set free, and today he's a normal man. So, you know, you don't listen to the devil. You know, we have all power and all authority over the enemy. So don't let him do those things to you. He'll do everything. He'll do crazy things to you, whatever he can, to get you to do things that he wants you to do. And just like these little Muslim kids down here, and I'm telling you, we're having a lot of them in the Metroplex. There is a lot of Muslims. So be careful. Watch what's going on. Sometimes you can just tell who they are by the way they dress and by everything. So if you see one that's got a belt or a loose coat, stay away from them. Don't get close. You know, every bomb that's been set off, I guess anywhere in the world in the last 50 years, has been done by a Muslim man somewhere between about 12 years old and 40 years old. So you don't want to get too close to them. You want to make sure you give them some space. But make sure that you know what's going on, and make sure you're walking in obedience to God's word so the enemy cannot hurt you. Because they're going to do what they're doing. And I saw them. And of course, the thing about it is, you know, when our president, it's amazing how he saw that very same day. And that very same day, he invited that boy to come to Washington, and he told him to bring your clock. And I thought to myself, wow. It's we're living in sad times, ladies and gentlemen. But we're living there because we're not obedient and we're not walking in obedience to God's word. That's why we're living where we're living. And if we would straighten our act up and we would walk holy and obedient to God's word, we would not have any Muslims in our country. In fact, I saw a guy the other day on TBN. He was making a statement. He said, all the countries that do not do abortions, which is not a lot of them, but there's several. He said they have no Muslims. No Muslims. No Muslims whatsoever. Not a single Muslim. Not one. But if you live in a country that does abortions, and the more abortions you do, the more Muslims you got in your country. And so when God says death and hell follow them, he's talking about the Muslims. And you know, they come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And they're doing a good job. So we're going to have to really pay attention to what we're doing. And like I say, if there is anything that you're doing that does not line up with be holy, walk holy before God, make sure you repent of those sins and start walking holy in obedience to God's word. Make sure that you walk in obedience to his word. Because if you're not, and the devastation does happen, you're not going to be able to be protected. Now, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, then he will protect you. I can assure you, he will protect his obedient children. I guarantee he will. How many of you believe he'll protect you if you're walking in obedience to his word? All right, I definitely do too. So make sure that you do that. Don't be a casual church member or anything like that. Walk in obedience to his word. Read his word. Praise him and thank him. And just do what he says so he will bless you. Wow, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, he's the one we preach around here too. We preach about Jesus and Jesus only, right? Anytime you get healed or delivered, it's Jesus that does it. It's definitely not us. Okay, next verse. For God, who commanded the lights to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, I don't think that any of us really have a general idea of the power that is working within us. It's so awesome to think about that power. But when Christ lives in you and me as sons and daughters of God, and since he lives inside of us, that treasure, that power is in us. And all we got to do is know it and speak it, and it brings forth great results. But you got to know it, and you have to speak it, and you have to speak it in faith. And of course, if you don't do it in faith, it won't work. God is a faith God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Anybody in their right mind could look at my granddaughter and they see what kind of work God did on her. If you think that I could have done that, if I had been the best doctor in the world besides Jesus, there is no way I could have put that little girl back together. I mean, her brainstem is severed. Her eyes are jerked out of her brain. And all of her body is damaged all over, from skull crushed in five places. And the finest doctors in the world told me it's impossible. She cannot live. But she did. She lives, she runs, she plays, she rides her horse, she does all kinds of things. So we have this power in earthen vessels, and that power is Jesus Christ, and he lives in us. Let's go to the next verse there, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Okay, we just lost about 90% of us right there. Nobody wants to live there, do we? No. It says we are troubled on every side. I mean, when trouble starts coming, I tell you, it's so easy to get into the grumbling mode when something happens. Isn't it? Yeah. I guarantee you, I've done it, and I know some of y'all have too. And usually it don't have to be very much, you know. I'll tell you where you could really get into the grumbling mode. Your grandkids come over and they get you an ice cream cone and they fill up the cone and everything, and then you're eating ice cream and all of a sudden you look down and there's a hole in the bottom and it was all running on your lap. Now you're really upset because the ice cream been running on your pants. That's not much persecution, is it? Well, we act like it. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Wow. This guy sounds like he's got problems, huh? Do you want to have those kind of problems? But let me tell you, you're going to have. Because Jesus, the apostle, told us here that we're going to have these kind of things. So you just need to get ready. You're going to have to undergo some persecution. Now, I don't like persecution. I don't like it at all. But what God is doing, he's training you and me to be overcomers. He wants us to be overcomers. And of course, if you pass your test, you won't have to go through these quite as long. Sometimes it takes a while, though, to get rid of these things. Let's go to verse 10. Let's see what it says there. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, or verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believed and therefore we speak. Next verse. Knowing that the which raise up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanks by the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Verse 16. For which causes we faint not, but through our outward man we perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, of course, you know, when you look at that scripture, verse 16, that the outward man perishes. You know, I see this all the time, even in mine and Cheryl's life. You know, I got so tickled at her the other day. We were in the bathroom getting ready to go somewhere, and she looked over and says, look at this. Isn't this awful? And I looked at her standing there, and I said, well, no, everything I see looks pretty good. She says, "But look, honey, look." And she held her arm up like that. And I said, "Yeah, that's a beautiful little arm. Looks beautiful. I love it." Oh, she said, "You're just being nice to me." She said, "Look at this. Look at this skin hanging down on my arm." I said, "Looks beautiful to me." I told her, I said, "Honey, it's called age." She didn't want to hear that. But I told her it's called age. I said, "Your body is dying, unfortunately, and you don't want," but I said, "It looks beautiful to me. We faint not, but though our outward man perishes." And this, you know, I don't care what you do to this guy, it's going to die. You might as well get ready, fight the fight of faith, do the best you can, stand on the promises of God. And I will have to say that if you learn to stand on those promises, you can affect your body and how you look. I mean, you can change it. Can you not? Absolutely. You can change your body. You can make it healthy. Because of the wonderful, awesome promises of God, you and those great and awesome, precious promises and the faith that you have, you can speak to your body and your body will obey you and it will do what you tell it if you do it in faith. Now, you got to learn to do that. And if you're not walking in faith, it will not work. That's just like whenever that story that we were talking about there a while ago about my granddaughter, when he said he listened to that a couple of times today. I tried that for 10 months, Mark 11:24, and it didn't work. Now you stop and think, why did Mark 11:24 not work? Because I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. Now, if you'd asked me, do I believe it, what would I have told you? Yes. Of course I believe that. What do you mean? You think I read that and you think I don't believe it? Of course I believe it. But God, He can see the connecting link between here and here. And it was disconnected. And so I was waiting for the doctor to tell me that it was okay before I fed her because I didn't want to kill my only granddaughter at the time. She was the only grandchild I had. And her mother, my daughter, the one that brought her into the world, she is in eternity now, and so she's not going to bring any more children into the world, that's for sure. So I didn't know but what she might be the only one I ever had. I didn't know. But this outward man, it is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. But now that inward man that you're renewing with the Word of God, you can't see him. You know, he doesn't have loose skin. You know, he doesn't get fat. He doesn't get skinny. I don't know. You might make him fat. If you make him fat with the promises of God, that's not bad, right? I'd like to gain a little weight myself, you know, if it's all going to be the Word of God. I don't want my pants to get any tighter than they are now. I'm okay with this. But I know that this outward man is going to perish, but I do know that if I stay in the Word, that inward man is going to be renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. Wow. Light afflictions for a moment. Even 70 or 80 years is but for a moment. Isn't that true? Think about when you were 16, what you could do. And then when you were 20. And then you thought, wow, I'll never get to be 21. But you did. And then all of a sudden you looked up and you were 31. And then you were 51. And then you think, oh my goodness, what happened? And people, they don't want to think about it, but you get older. But our light afflictions, these are just light afflictions, but for a moment they worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light afflictions. 18, let's go on to the next verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we forget that so quick that we really do go by what we see. You just can't help it when you look at somebody and they're falling apart or they're... And sometimes they're not old when they're falling apart. Sometimes you see somebody that's young, you know, that they're having all kinds of problems with their body and their body's, they've ruined it with sin or drugs or alcohol or whatever, and they've literally ruined their body. And, you know, one day I was we were having a healing school, and there was a young man come down the aisle here in a wheelchair, and I asked him, he looked like he was probably 20. I said, "Son, what happened to you?" I said, were you born like this?" He says, "No." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, it happened about 4 years ago." So I would assume when he was about 16, he was trying to do a backward flip in a four-wheeler. Now, he run over some kind of a embankment or something, and he jerked his machine up, and it's going to do a backward flip on a motorcycle that weighs probably 300 or 400 pounds, and it fell on him, and it broke, crushed his back. And he's, I thought, you know, I just can't believe what we do. You know, I done some stupid things too when I was growing up, but I'm grateful to God that he let me get through it, because I think about some of the dumb things that I did when I was a kid. And that's just like my nephew, not my nephew, but my grandson. When my grandson come over to talk to Grandma about getting him a motorcycle, Grandma said, "Well, Preston, I got a feeling that you're going to have to do some real sweet talking to Granddad, or you ain't never going to get a motorcycle." So he come in, he said, "Granddad, what are the chances of me getting a motorcycle?" I said, "Zero. Ain't never going to have one. You're never going to get one. As long as it's up to me to buy it, son, you won't never have one." So I guess since his dad probably had told him the same thing, and I told him that, I guess he's going to be without a motorcycle. But I remember what I did when I had one. And in fact, I remember I was right downtown Dallas one afternoon on Harry Hines and Oaklawn. This is a long time ago, 50-something years ago. Had a big old Harley-Davidson motorcycle, and there was a real nice-looking girl that lived right there in the development where I was staying. And we got to talking, and she says, "Well, could we go for a ride on your bike?" And I said, "Sure, no problem, jump on." So we jumped on that motorcycle, and I was driving sane. I was driving about 35 in a 35 zone. And we went down the street, and as we started around the corner, they had graveled that part of the street that day. Well, I was running way 35 miles an hour. I was way too fast, you know, if you hit that gravel. So when I saw that gravel, I tried to straighten it up, and I went across, straight across, and when I got to the curb, I thought I was Mr. Macho, and I jerked that big, giant Harley-Davidson motorcycle just as hard as I could jerk it to make the front wheel go over the curb, and it did. The front wheel went over the curb, but the back wheel hit it. And when it did, it went bing, just like that, and done a flip and threw me and that girl down on the concrete, and I slid down the concrete and hit a pole. And from the top of my head right here to the bottom of my foot on the right side, it tore meat and skin, laid my eyebrow down in my eye, tore all the meat off the face right here, tore all my on my hip right here. You can see the bone sticking out there, gravel off. I got down there, and a cop, I don't know how long I was out. I woke up in a minute, and I had turned the motorcycle off, and he says, "Just lay there, son. We got an ambulance coming." I said, "I'm okay. I don't need an ambulance." I said, "I'm okay. Just let me get up and go back to my house." He said, "No, I think you're going to have to stay and let the doctor look at you." So I thought, wow. So I reached up, and I thought, wow, must be sweaty. Well, something running down my eye. So I did like this, and I looked, and my whole hand was full of blood. And then I backed off and looked at myself, and I'm tore all to pieces. And I told the officer, I said, "Maybe I better wait on the ambulance." I didn't have much faith at all back in those days. They come, got me, and carried me over to Parkland Hospital, and that girl too. And of course, she had on a pair of shorts and a little halter on her top, and everywhere skin hit the ground, it tore meat off of her. So anyway, it was awful. It's a wonder any of us ever get grown. You know that? I'm telling you, but anyway, we really got tore up that day. When I got to Parkland Hospital, I had never been in Parkland Hospital. I got there, it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, and at 12 o'clock that night, they still hadn't even looked at me. I was laying there in my blood, and at first I was upset until I saw a guy come in that was running a liquor store that had been robbed, and whoever robbed him took a razor and just slit him. He just had chunks of meat laying out everywhere. And when I saw that guy, I thought, you know, here, you take my spot. I said, I'm okay. I felt like I was okay. So after I saw a few of those people, and I see how many of them come down there on motorcycles that were tore all to pieces, and now I guess it's worse. I don't know. If you've been to Parkland on a Friday or Saturday night, I'm sure that they're overloaded with motorcycle wrecks. Do y'all know what I mean? They have them all the time. Poor, poor guys. Those guys are just like I was. They still haven't learned. But he said, we look at the things which are not seen, or the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 19. Oh, is that all of them? 18, okay. Okay. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Our earthly house, the temple that we live in, it's going to pass away. Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that what we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up with life, of life. You know, when I see that word mortality, and I think about immortal, I've heard about this before, but not much, but lately I've been reading about this a lot, about mortals and immortal. They say that there is another race of people that are immortal living on this earth. And I'm learning more and more about this all the time. And it's kind of a strange thing when you read this and think about it. And then, of course, when I think about what's going to happen the 24th of this month, not only is the Pope and Obama going to have that meeting with Congress, but on the 24th, the super collider that's in Sweden and France, CERN, it's going to be brought up to full speed for the first time in history. Now, they really don't know what it's going to do, but when I read what they're hoping for, it kind of makes you think. They're thinking that, and there is scientists from, 30 or 40 or 50 countries working on this thing. This thing has cost billions of dollars. And how many of you ever heard of CERN, the super collider? Okay, so some of you know what I'm talking about. They say that the 24th, which is next Thursday, they're going to bring this thing up to full speed. And it's kind of like the first time that we built an atomic bomb. When the scientists, they come up with this atomic bomb, some of the scientists were afraid that if they ever bombarded these particles and it went too far, and if they started exploding, that there'd be no stopping it and that it would destroy the world. So when the first atomic bomb was set off, there was a lot of anticipation thinking, we may destroy the earth. Well, it's kind of like this with this super collider. This thing is, these particles that are supposedly running around in there are all approaching light speed, the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. Now then, they say when they get there, this thing, when they get it to full power, it's going to open up something that we can't see. These things that we're talking about here, there's some things that are eternal that you can see and some that you can't see. But they're thinking that they may be able to open this thing up. And if it does what they think it's going to do, it's going to open a key or a pathway to the center of the earth. So if it really does this, you know, and if it does do what they think it's going to do, it may bring forth these spirits that the Bible talks about. These spirits come forth from the abyss. So we don't know what this is going to happen. So that's another reason that this is kind of an exciting month with all the things they're talking about doing. Who knows what the future holds? That's why I'm trying to tell you that since we don't know what the future holds for sure, we can read the Bible. I don't know, did any of you see the Sid Roth show this last week? You know, it was all about that. Those two men, Tom Horn and those two guys, have studied this in great detail. And they were just talking casually about it. I went back and listened to it this morning again myself, just to listen to it on the Sid Ross website. And these guys are saying that, you know, something really devastating could happen when they run this thing up to full power. And so it's a good time to know Jesus. Really a good time to know Jesus and to make sure that you know that you're walking obedient to His Word. Because who knows what might happen when this happens. Next verse. Now He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're way ahead of the game. If you ask the Lord every day to fill you with that Holy Spirit, have been raised up in a church where they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, or that He was a second event, well, you've really missed a lot. But make sure that you have received the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, and I think it ask for that every day. That's the best way. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He's not physically with us right now, but yet He is with us. He's in us. Let's go to the next verse, 7 and 8. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I think that by far the majority of Christians walk by sight and not by faith. But the Scripture says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now then, if you're walking by sight, by what you see, anytime something happens to you, you will call upon something that's man-made to solve your problem instead of God. If you're walking by sight, if you get hurt, you know, if you need to, you got a pain in your body or whatever, you'll always go to a doctor instead of going to the Lord. And it's just normal. You can tell. You can tell who the people are real quickly that walk by faith and not by sight. Because we went to see a woman this week, Jeff and I did, and she had been diagnosed with cancer. And we told them what causes cancer as a rule, you know, unforgiveness, bitterness. And she repented of all of her sins. And then I told her, I said, now then, there's a scripture that really stops people from receiving their healing from the Lord. I said, it's James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Now, I want us to go from where we are here in verse 7 and 8. I want us to go to James 1, 6 and 7. Because this is where you find out what we're made out of. James 1, 6 and 7. If we ask for anything, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we prayed for this woman. We got her to repent of her sin. And then we stood on the scripture. And then when I asked, now then, what are you going to do? The husband, right off the bat, says, we need to continue with our chemo treatments. I told him, I said, you know, sir, if you take her and give her another chemo treatment, this verse is going to kick in. And if this verse kicks in, how much healing are you going to receive from the Lord? I mean, he said, you ain't going to get nothing. Is that what he said? Do you know, it really takes some faith in your God to believe what this book says. Because nearly everybody, when you tell them, now then, that we have repented of our sin, we have prayed for you, now you got to believe with no doubt in your heart, that means you trust Jesus and Jesus alone. It takes a real man or woman of God to do that. Do you know that? It takes a real man or woman of God. But God give us doctors. Yeah, He did. He probably did. Because, you know, if we didn't have doctors and good doctors, most of us in this room would probably be dead. Because somewhere along the line, you needed a doctor. Because if you're like I was, I didn't know how to walk by faith till I was 40 years old. You know, I mean, I didn't know what it meant to walk in faith. I walked in the flesh. I walked by what I saw. You know, I can remember one time whenever I was drilling a hole in a 59 Chevrolet rear fender to put an antenna on it. And when I got through drilling, it took a 1-inch hole. And when I went to wipe the metal off, I didn't realize one of the pieces of metal was still hung on there. So when I dusted it off, I hung that piece right in the center, that center finger right there, and from there to the end, ripped it out. So, of course, it bled like crazy. So guess what's the first thing I did?
Doctor.
Absolutely right. I went to see the doctor. I went over and he washed it and cleaned, put 6 stitches in it. And he said, in about a week, Thurman, come by and I'll take those stitches out. Well, I did, and that's exactly what I did. And then, of course, then the thing healed up, but it took another 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, whatever. But nobody had ever explained to me I could wash that off and just believe God, you know. Nobody ever explained to me that I could, if I had prayed that morning before I started to work, I probably wouldn't have cut my finger, you know, because I was not walking by faith. I was walking by sight. I was just going to work doing my thing. I was not asking for wisdom and knowledge how to do my job, but the scripture clearly says I'm supposed to. And so if you do, things go better. So anyway, we talked a little while, and I showed them these scriptures, and I said, now, you know, y'all can do whatever you want to do. But I said, if you take her and get another chemo treatment, you're not going to get anything from God. Because is that what he said?
Yes.
In other words, if I'm quoting exactly what God says, am I on safe ground?
Yes.
Yes, I am. So I said, okay, if you want to get well, and I said, I've seen this happen many times, if you want to get well, you two, both husband and wife, and they'd been married a long time. I said, both of y'all are going to have to believe God together and start praising him and thanking him. And if you will, since you've repented of your sin, I said, you will get well. And I've seen that many times too. I've seen it over and over and over. But he clearly says, if you're unstable, if you're like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man or that woman think that they shall receive anything from the Lord or of the Lord. He ain't going to do nothing for you. Okay, let's go back to verse 7 or 8. Okay, there it is. Wherefore we labor, and wherefore we present or absence, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now then, it's a good thing this doesn't have any effect on your salvation. You're saved by grace. It's a free gift, right? All we got to do is ask Jesus to come into our heart, and now then he's our Lord and Savior. And some people, most people I think that are Christians, think that's all you got to do now. Now you're a Christian, you can come to church when you want to, if you want to. You can give a little money if you want to, and you don't have to do anything to be a Christian. But you know, those people are going to stand before God one day, and they're going to be judged, and there's not going to be any rewards. How many of you remember what Howard Pittman told us when he was here, that when he died and went to heaven, how many rewards did the Lord say he was going to get?
None.
And he was a Baptist preacher.
Yeah.
That's scary. If he's a Baptist preacher and the Lord told him he's not going to get any rewards, is that what you want to hear when you get to heaven? No, I don't want to hear that either. I do not want to hear that at all. I want to, in other words, when I get to heaven, I want the Lord to look at me and say, okay, the world was a better place for people to live in because of what you did for me. Because you took my word, because you taught my word, because you prayed and believed, because you healed the sick in my name, you cast out demons in my name, you went in the middle of the night, the day, and everywhere, you went all over the country and even all over the world, and you preached my word, and because of what you did for me, you have done things, and the world is going to be a better place, and tens of thousands of people are going to be healthier and well and live a longer life because of what you did for me. Do you want to hear that? That's what I want to hear too. I do not want to hear the Lord say, forget it. You won't get a single reward. That just blew me away when I heard Howard that day tell us that, didn't you?
Yes.
I'm not going to get a single reward. And of course, the thing that really blew me away was when he said that he looked up there and there was only 50 people on the highway to heaven. and 2,000 had died in that 15 minutes. And there's none of them going to heaven. Only 50 out of 2,000 people were going to go to heaven. That's scary. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing something for the Lord. And of course, the thing about it is, the scripture also teaches something that I don't understand why we don't believe this, but just like that John 15:2 says, if you don't produce fruit for the kingdom of God, he says he'll cut you off, doesn't he? In other words, cut you off means to kill you. And I don't want to be killed at a young age. I'd much rather live to be an old, healthy young man. I don't want to die early. But that's a scary verse right there. So wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I want him to accept me, don't you? Absolutely. For we must all, there again that word all, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Kim, when the Lord spoke to you that day and told you to repent the sins of this block, when you said, Lord, I can't do that, what if you hadn't had the Spirit to grab you by the hair and say, that's not true? You would have got no reward, would you? But because the Spirit spoke to you and says, you know, you can do that, and you remitted the sins of the block, and the Lord instantly turned the power back on. When we yield to him, he says, even if you've just given somebody a cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose your reward. And so whatever, if he speaks to you and tells you to do something that seems maybe wild, and I'm sure that Kim and Scott had not heard that teaching. That was pretty new to them at the time. I had been teaching about we have the power to forgive sin because Jesus lives in us. And of course, some people don't believe that, but that's not what the Bible clearly says. Whosoever sins we forgive, they're forgiven. Is that what it says?
Yes.
So if it says whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Miss Jackie, I think we can forgive sin, don't you?
Yes.
And so we do that. And so I know Cheryl and I have used that verse, oh my goodness, so many times for so many people, especially our family members. Before we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. You know, the thing about it is, before you go home to be with Jesus, make sure that you confessed every sin. If you confessed every sin, then there won't be any bad marks against you. Isn't that good? I don't want no bad marks against me, do you?
No.
I want, when the Lord looks at my record, I want everything I've ever messed up on, I want to have confessed it, and it's washed away by the blood of Jesus, and I got a clean slate, a clean board there for him. Look, he says, I don't find anything wrong with you. You must have really been a good boy. We're really a good boy because we know Jesus, right? Because when we confess our sin, he's righteous and just to forgive our sin. And because of the blood of Jesus, if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd be in big trouble. We'd be in big trouble. But because we do know him, we're going to be okay. Praise the Lord. So how many of us are ready to go home to be with Jesus? We're prepared. We may not be ready for the bus to pull up out there right now and take us away, but we're prepared. If it were our time, we would be ready to go. And so the Lord can take us, and we would be ready to stand before the Master and listen to him say, well done, faithful servant. Yeah, well done, faithful servant. That's I didn't realize that until I heard Howard make that statement, that it really going to be just like the scripture says. But for him to stand there and the Lord say, Howard, if you come through that door, you cannot go back, but you will not get one single reward. Wow, Lord, no, Lord, I've been a Baptist preacher. I know, I've been with you. And Lord, I raised 27 foster children for you. What'd the Lord tell him? He said, you didn't raise those 27 children for me, you raised them for yourself so you could gloat over it. He said, you didn't do anything for me. That's kind of like the day that the Lord told, Paul Crouch, when he was still alive, when he told the Lord, Lord, we got to have some money. We're gonna lose this TV station if we don't have all this money. And Jan and I have given you everything we have, including our house. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, you haven't given me anything. You loaned your money to me. You didn't give it to me. So he said, I called Jan and told her, I said, you know, the Lord told me we didn't give him anything. We loaned him our $20,000 IRA and all the stuff. So he said, let's give it to the Lord tonight. And so she said, the Lord just laid that on my heart too. So they gave that all to the Lord. And before that night was over, TBN had enough money to pay for everything they needed to keep that station on the air. I'm telling you, God's in control. You and me are not in control. And when we tell him, or when he tells us what to do, when we do it, then he blesses us. And he is an awesome God. That's why we have all these wonderful testimonies of people getting healed. I love it. If you walk in faith, you can have testimonies. But whenever if a pain or something comes back upon you, don't yield to the enemy. Stand on the word. Speak to that pain. Command that thing to leave you in the name of Jesus. Don't let it continue to get you. But we're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, we in this church, we want everything, our rewards to be there because we did some good things for Jesus, right? Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you told us what you're going to do and how you're going to judge us, and so we can be prepared. You know, we can do what we do as unto the Lord. We work hard at everything. We don't want to do anything that's just trying to get by. We want to do everything up above. We want to be good. We want to work at it. We want to work hard at it. We want to be blessed by you. So we're going to work at everything we do as if we're working unto you and not unto man. But Lord, if we're working for somebody on this earth, let us work for them like we was working for you, because technically we are working for you and we're building our rewards in heaven. So Lord, make us the men and women we need to be. Help us to walk in obedience to your word. Help us, Lord, control our tongue, that our tongues, everything that comes out of our mouth, may glorify you. There will be no foul words out of our mouths, that we will respect each other. No foul words, but we will walk in love with everybody, and we will do great and wonderful things for the kingdom of God, and that, Lord, we will be a blessing to people. And may people, when they see us, they know just by our actions and our speech that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, thank you for blessing us. And Lord, as we go this week, I know this could be a week of real trials and tests. So Lord, I don't know what this week's going to hold, but I know the potential a little bit of what could happen. And Lord, I know that whatever happens in the next few weeks or few months, that you're going to bless the church, the obedient church. And we're going to thank you in advance for your wonderful blessings. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor for everything you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.